Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7, I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say thank heaven. For little girls get bigger every day.
Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the leader of the International Monetary Fund, has been charged for sexual assault on a maid in a New York hotel in Times Square on Saturday. Strauss-Kahn charged with 2 counts of criminal sexual act in the first degree, 1 count of attempted rape in the first degree, 1 count of sexual abuse in the first degree, 1 count of unlawful imprisonment in the second degree, 1 count of forcible touching, 1 count of sexual abuse in the third degree. The top charge, criminal sexual act, carries with it a maximum sentence of 25 years in prison. No bail allowed. The judge said he was a flight risk.
Thank heaven. Thank heaven. Thank heaven for little
Okay, I automatically nominate myself to win the Marconi Award. I mean, this is just the good stuff. Now, what's missing from the story, the real headline is Socialist Pig Rapes Maid. Now, here's the interesting part. We don't know whether he did it. It looks to me like a setup. It looks to me like the Sarkozy people sent somebody in. They knew the guy's weakness. They had consensual paid-for sex. And then she screamed rape, and the rest is history. He's ruined, even if he gets off the charge, okay? But there's so many elements to this that need to be discussed. Number one are the vermin in the U.S. media who keep saying head of the IMF, head of the IMF, head of the IMF. He's the head of the Socialist Party in France. Let's start with that. Now, what if it had been Mr. Le Pen of the Nationalist Party, or the National Front Party in France? Do you think the vermin in the media who was saying he's the head of the IMF wouldn't say the head of the right-wing party? Of course they would. So this just sets it up for you. That's number one. So the real headline, if I was headlining it for the Daily News in the 1950s, would be, Socialist French Pig Rapes Maid, or French Socialist Pig Rapes Hotel Maid. And the rest, of course, would be as it is. I picked up the that's not all I'm going to talk about today. Don't get me wrong. I am going to talk about 2 or 3 other topics. Gingrich, the GOPAC tick. Was I fooled? I wrote the Political Zoo. I called him the GOPAC tick. So over the weekend, the GOPAC tick comes out and he says that Obama's Obamacare is just the right thing and the Republicans are wrong, and that right wing social engineering is the wrong way to go. You hear? The GOPAC tick is the GOPAC tick. He's an egomaniacal money changer in the temple of conservatism. Also, for those of you who are interested, we are going to tell you a little tale of truth about my weekend where I went to a classic car show, number one, and why men go to classic car shows and why some women go to classic car shows. It's mainly a guy thing. Incredible fun. And then I went on the Franklin Delano Roosevelt's floating White House, Potomac. I can never say Potomac correctly. It's something to do with Washington, D.C. It's actually Potomac. You've got to think of the word tome. And I learned that it was formerly a World War II era frigate. It was actually based on a World War I design. It was a warship. And in those days, the level of luxury was so little, minimal. Compared to today, it's so Romanesque. I mean, I own a yacht, right? A small, 59-foot boat. This is 161-foot or 180 feet. I don't know how long it is. I have the card on the boat. But amazing to me. She's 75 years old, and it's a former warship converted to carry President Roosevelt around up and down, mainly the Potomac. But I understand he also took it up to Maine. It's a coastal cruiser. Incredible fun. I enjoyed being in the wheelhouse with the captain, who's a former submariner. Great guys, just terrific guys, and the other crew members of the Potomac. And I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But I've got to go back to Marie Chevalier for a minute, because the story has so many elements to it. It's feminism gone wild. Do you think that it's fair that a woman can simply point a finger at a man and say, he did this to me, did that to me, and his life's over? And by the way, and they don't even identify the hag who's saying he did it. She could just say it, and you don't even know who it is. Oh, they're real victims. But nevertheless, I mean, it looks to me like the socialist pig has a history of this kind of thing. So we don't know whether he actually did such things to this woman as described in the NYPD report, which is that he shut the door to the above location and prevented informant from leaving the above location, grabbed informant's breasts without consent, 3, attempted to pull down informant's pantyhose and forcibly grabbed informant's vaginal area, 4, forcibly made contact with his penis, and 5, was able to accomplish the above acts by using actual physical force. I wouldn't use the word accomplish. That has a more positive connotation to it. What do you mean accomplish the above by using actual typical police blotter kind of, you know, dreck. But the defect, what do you mean? Oral anal in the same? Wait a minute. Something, then the whole thing is crazy. The guy sounds like a lunatic. He locks the door. He grabs her. He tries to have her do sodomy. She breaks free, and then he does something else to her. And then he leaves the room and leaves his cell phone there, runs to the Air France jet and the door. And they take the guy off, and he says, now, what is this about? I am an important Frenchman. I am a socialist who stays in $3,000 a night rooms. I wear $35,000 suits. I'm a man of the people. You cannot touch me. Now, you got to picture this whole thing in translation. Then they interview his wife in France, who's a famed TV journalist, and she says, whatever my husband is accused of, it may be true, but it's none of your business. After all, he's a politician. He's entitled to do these things. We're French. I'm telling you, this is crazier by the second. So play Marie Chevalier for me on the Savage Nation. I'd rather talk about this than the national debt and George Washington, to be honest. Dead in the water already. I'm like the Potomac dead cylinders. I could see nothing went over because the schmucks are listening to Limba. Right, the national debt's over $14 trillion a second. That's all I want to talk about. I'm trying to give you creativity. It doesn't work in them. It's like a dull, like a dead zone out there. All day long, they listen to Hannity. All right, listen to that national debt. Only Republicans can save us. All right, come on in now. Come on in from the right. How can you listen to me after all of those guys? You can't. I can throw you red meat, but I'm not going to do it. I'd rather you eat some Limburger cheese today. Do you actually believe that the French socialist pig did this or not? Let's make it so the ordinary person can call about this. I also found a related article this morning from the Independent UK, Why Women Really Do Love Self-Obsessed Psychopaths. I'm not making up the title. Why Women Really Do Love Self-Obsessed Psychopaths. Bad boys, it seems, really do get all the girls. Women might claim they want caring, thoughtful types, but scientists have discovered what they really want. Self-obsessed, lying psychopaths. A study has found that men with a dark triad of traits, narcissism, thrill-seeking, and deceitfulness, and deceitfulness, sounds like Bill Clinton, are likely to have a larger number of sexual affairs. They say it's genetic. It explains why some men seem unable to stop themselves from behaving badly. But these negative traits, so-called, of narcissism, thrill-seeking, and callous behavior, and deceit, they say are actually are survival skills. And it says that men with the highest rating in terms of the dark triad tended to have more partners and a greater desire for short-term affairs. And it says this triad of behavioral characteristics maximizes a man's reproductive potential by having sex with many females. We're not talking about the Christian or moral viewpoint here. We're talking about the biological imperative, right? So the guys who can get most women have more babies, and that's all nature knows about. Nature is dumb. You see what I mean? And then the scientist says, the strategy seems to have worked. We still have these traits, Dr. Johansson said. David Schmidt of Bradley University in Peoria surveyed 35,000 people in 57 countries and found a similar link. It is universal across cultures, he said. So women, whether they're in Drakistan, Dragulistan, Trakistan, Makistan, Hakistan, Westan, West Side, Upside, My Side, Downside, it doesn't matter. All women like self-obsessed psychopaths, according to this. Now, that leads us right back to the case in New York City of the socialist pig who allegedly raped the maid. Now, although I am glad that the socialist pig has been smeared, I am not happy that he was smeared. You got to understand it's a duality. I'm pretty sure it was a setup by the Sarkozy machine. There's no question they knew the guy's weakness. And there's no better way for me to, of course, explain this than to play a certain soundbite for you. And I know the minute I'm going to play it, you're going to understand where I'm coming from. So, guys, without any further ado, play clip one.
I did not.
No. It's all right.
I didn't do anything.
It's okay. You're very lucky. My brother Fredo operates this place. He was called before anyone. Now, if this had happened someplace else, we couldn't have helped you.
When I woke up, I was on the floor, and I don't know how it happened.
You can't remember?
I passed out.
All right, so that's from The Godfather. He wakes up in the house of ill repute owned by the Corleone family when they doped him up and killed the girl with him. This, of course, is not as extreme, but it's along the same lines. It's a pretty standard setup. There's no question that when you have so much at stake, anything is liable to happen, and they're going to go after you on your weakest points. This man was a known womanizer, if you want to put it in those terms. I don't like the word womanizer. I don't know quite why the word is used, because it's not about women. It's about a man's baser instincts. So it's not really about the woman. But the man has a history of this type of behavior. He's a boor. Let's put it to that way. You know, he's really no different than Nelson Rockefeller in some ways, who, as you may remember from the Daily News, if you're around as long as I, had his way with his secretary and then died of a heart attack in his 50s, collapsed on top of her and trapped her underneath him like a whale on the desk in the on the Fifth Avenue area. They had to call up. The woman was like groping for the phone with a finger and knocked the hook off, and the police came and they had to get like a derrick to take Governor Rockefeller, Democrat, off the secretary. And it was, you know, it was swept under the rug. But I was a kid, but we knew about those things. I mean, I was a little boy, but governor found dead of heart attack. But then you read about it and you realized he was having fun with the secretary. He got an HA, died on top of her. She couldn't get him off her. She couldn't reach the phone, et cetera, and so on. So this is nothing new. It's not like I'm shocked in this day and age that this would happen. But where is the woman? Who is the woman? Who paid her to do this? And what do you think of the fact that the media is covering up that it's a socialist pig, not an ordinary IMF pig? I'll be right back.
So, Emmanuel, rumors have flown for years about Strauss-Kahn, haven't they?
Yeah, there have been rumors about him for years, but nothing like that. You know, there have been rumors of, obviously, him being very, how could I say that, sexually active, and him really having a lot of, stories about him and women. And, of course, there was one at the IMF in 2008, which was really a big problem, because he was actually accused of having abused of his position to have a sexual relation with a woman.
Thank heaven for little girls.
Yes. Everyone, sing all along. Follow the bouncing girl.
Every day.
Thanks, heaven.
Thank heaven for little girls.
You know, I got to say this. I never met anyone with a hyphenated last name who was any damn good. You could put that down. That may be my next book title, by Will Rogers Savage. I never met anyone with a hyphenated last name who was any damn good, by Michael Savage. They even asked Nancy Pelosi what she thought about all of this. Can you imagine? This is a topic they brought up to Nancy Pelosi. Now, she was already, they deep-sixed her. They put her on ice. She almost wrecked the Democrat Party with her insanity and her arrogance and her egomaniacal behavior. They pushed her on the back burner. All of a sudden, they asked Pelosi about the socialist IMF chief, Dominique Strauss-Kahn. By the way, do the French have girls front? That's the one thing. What do you mean Dominique Strauss-Kahn? I will go into that later, but listen to clip three.
What a shame. At a time when the IMF is in center stage for what's happening in Europe and Greece, et cetera, and the world financially, to have this disruption. I know they moved immediately to appoint someone in his place. That gives new definition to moral hazard, but it's really so unfortunate. I feel very sad for the victim.
Really, do you? Not for the Socialist Party of France, just for the victim. Who is the victim? Who is the victim? Poor victim. She never had it. Never in her life has anyone ever touched her before. The victim. Where's the victim? Who is the victim? Why don't we see the victim? I never heard of a free society where anyone could say, you touched me, therefore your life is over. What do you mean victim? Where is the person and what is her name? You see, this comes from feminism gone wild, where suddenly all you got to say is, I was raped. Okay, I was raped. And suddenly you're protected. You don't even have to put your name out there. Now, you know that I have the strongest opinion in the world on real rape. I have said it over and over again. Real rape should be punished by castration. But this date rape and fake rape and setup rape is another story. So don't misquote me now and suddenly say Savage is insensitive to women's rights. Okay, I'm the greatest defender of women's rights. But I am not going to sit here and say he's automatically guilty just because he's an obvious socialist pig. I'm simply not going to do it. Just because he's known as a socialist pig in France. Now, in France, this is considered normal behavior. In France, they accepted a socialist stays in a $3,000 a night room and wears $13,000 silk suits. They expect that. And of course, as a socialist man of the people, he has freestanding access on Air France first class. He can show up at the airport at any time and get on a plane, any Air France plane in the world, and go into first class, and they have to kick somebody out so that the all-important socialist pig can get his seat, you know, and have his van, his champagne, and his truffle on the way back for his important meeting in the IMF, where he could disperse the funds of the people, as we do. By the way, Ron Paul is the conservative Adlai Stevenson, I figured out. He has about as much chance to win as Adlai Stevenson did in the 1950s. And yet that, I'm afraid, is going to be the race. Trump, as we well know, he's going to stick. Oh, yeah. Cataclysmic. I'm not running for office. Well, after the Bertha debacle, I didn't think so, Donald, and I consider you a friend of mine. But the fact is, whoever advised you should be thrown out of your staff.
Savage.
I don't know. And I don't understand why. I can't remember.
You don't have to remember. Just do as I say. They're putting a call into your office. Explain that you'll be there tomorrow afternoon. Decided to spend the night at Michael Corleone's house in Tahoe as his guest.
I do remember that she was laughing. And I know that I could not have hurt that girl.
This girl has no family. It'll be as though she never existed. All that's left is our friendship.
All right, so that's from The Godfather. It's a little different. I mean, there's no dead girl. There's a living maid in the hotel who accuses a top-flight socialist guy of groping and trying to sodomize her and grabs her and throws her on a bed. First of all, the whole story doesn't make sense. A guy of that level with that kind of money, what, he needs a woman that badly he couldn't have bought one in New York City in the Sofitel Hotel, which I think is owned by the French government? Do I have to fill in the details? I mean, he couldn't resist on the way to the airport grabbing a 30-something-year-old hag maid. Couldn't resist. He was so sexually charged up. Just couldn't resist. He was such an animal. The story doesn't make sense. A guy like that would have paid for it. She would have been delivered with the morning orange juice or the evening, cocktail. That's all. So what are you talking about here? The whole thing doesn't make sense to me. But I have a question for all of you good Democrat socialists out there that's going to catch you off guard. Al Gore, if you remember correctly, was accused of under very similar circumstances by masseuses a while ago during the peak hysteria about global warming. What were they? Masseuses in various hotels. Where were they, Beowulf? I forget where Gore... Portland, Oregon, of all places, if you can believe they still have sex in Portland. I don't know if it's still legal for a man or woman to have sex in Portland, but allegedly Al Gore was accused of having groped or jumped up from the table with a towel on with the same kind of situation without going to the extent of, grabbing her and throwing her down. And his DNA, by the way, I believe was tested and the case was thrown out. So why would Al Gore's case be thrown out? And this guy, this socialist guy from France, why is he now in Rikers Island? Can you imagine this? that they didn't let this guy leave? Now, I understand that they came up with the nonsense that he would not be extradited from France, because they're very crazy about that, the French. They don't extradite virtually anyone, except in the most extreme circumstances, and it takes 10 years. But the fact of the matter is, I cannot believe they would take a guy like this and throw him in Rikers Island on the testimony of some skank made in a hotel who has not even been identified. So I want to play a clip back from a few years ago of an accuser of Al Gore in clip six.
He then tried another tactic, as though he had very suddenly switched personalities, and began in a pleading tone, pleading for release of his second chakra there. There's so much tension being held. This was yet another euphemism for sexual activity he was requesting, put cleverly as though it were a spiritual request or something. I was further deeply shocked and repulsed as my realization of what was happening sunk in, and especially as my mind was now reeling from this absolute betrayal by someone I had inherently trusted as a good guy who cares about people, including me, because of his public persona.
Well, let me explain something. Even good guys who believe in global warming are men, some of them at least, a small percentage, 1% perhaps. And they also have biological needs, lady. And secondly, don't also act like as innocent as the driven snow. You're in the massage business. I know it's, chakras and all of that, but anyone in the massage business is just a hairbreadth away from another related industry. Let's put it to you that way, okay? I mean, I know that there's supposedly a huge firewall between therapeutic massage and the other industry that's so closely related, but I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy, and to me, one is very close to the other. Let's say they're cousin feels, okay? So she's shocked that he would jump up and Al Gore. But here's another one, clip seven. Listen to this.
He wrapped me in an inescapable embrace as I turned around, giving this come-hither look deep into my eyes and caressed my back and buttocks and breasts. I squirmed to try and get out of his grasp, telling him to stop, down several times, and I finally told him and said, "You're being a crazed sex poodle."
Teddy, did you hear that? She just insulted your species. Now, I find that offensive, by the way, as an owner of a poodle, to use that phrase, crazed sex poodle. And if I knew that woman, I would consider bringing some kind of charges for her insensitivity to compare a poodle to Al Gore. But let's move on to the actual issue itself. How is it that Al Gore allegedly conducted himself in the same manner, and he didn't go to Rikers? Of course, there is no Rikers in Portland, Oregon, but this story seems to me like a setup. So I'm going to go to the women and the men of the Savage Nation for a couple of comments on the Savage Nation, and we'll go into the politics of the day. I will not talk about the following topics today. I will not talk about the national debt. I will not talk about Obamacare. I will not talk about Medicare. I will not talk about Donald Trump. I will talk only about topics that I find to be of some interest to me. So let's begin in Sacramento on KSTE with Carrie. Go ahead. Carrie, go ahead, please.
Hi there. I just would say that when I was a student, college student, I lived in France about 10 years ago, and the big difference between there and here is that men that are of any kind of power with work, like, there's an expectation that they can have what they want from anybody, especially someone like a secretary or a maid or like a working class person. There's kind of the unspoken thing that they can kind of like own them. And so it's not uncommon, even like for us as students, like other girls, like, and my friends, we weren't like, looking around for trouble, but I mean, people would expose themselves and all kinds of stuff. I mean, so I think it's just a different culture.
Was it more socialists in power or others in power?
I would say, well, they have that whole socialist system there where it's kind of like something probably like our Democrats.
I see. It's like sex for the people. It's like love is free love. And so therefore, if you're a woman, you owe it to him because you're all down with each other.
Yeah, it's really inappropriate, and people don't realize how awful that is. It's not just like a sexy place. It's a place where really, like, we don't hear about that often. So if anything, I think in this case, it's possibly...
So in other words, if he did this to a maid in Paris, no big deal?
Nobody would care about this.
Nobody would care, and they'd expect it, in other words.
Kind of, unfortunately.
They'd expect a big socialist pig to drop his drawers and jump on a maid. That would be cool. That's it. That's the way it's done. And then go out and give a speech about the poor people of Paris and how he has to help them.
Yes, sadly.
Unbelievable. See, this is the hypocrisy that I love so much, which is why I'm covering this topic. You got to understand something. This is made for talk radio. And like, the budget is not made for talk radio. You need to be a genius like Glenn Beck with two blackboards and fake eyeglasses to cover the budget. Only a man with a high school degree who has no concept whatsoever of the budget, who can have two blackboards that are already pre-stamped with numbers on them, and sit on a stool can cover issues like the budget. I can't do it. This, what I'm doing now, is what radio is all about. But if it was just salaciousness, I wouldn't be doing it. I would have covered it and gone on. There's so many social elements that they're worth talking about. I have to go back. Feminism gone wild. I am going to keep insisting that any rape victim, except in cases of violent rape that are obvious, should not be able to maintain anonymity. That's number one. I don't know where this came from, that anybody can accuse anybody at any time. Do you remember the incident of the, what did I call it, the Durham, remember the case of the Duke LaCrosse, remember the Duke LaCrosse case? I was the first one in the American media to call her, what did I call her, Beowulf? The Durham dirtbag, remember? And I was roundly attacked and criticized for that. Who was right, me or everyone else in the media? She immediately was a victim, and everyone on the Duke LaCrosse team was the evil, evil white male rapist, right? It turned out she was the dirtiest dirtbag of all, and these guys' lives were almost destroyed by her. Why? Because of the twisted laws in the land, where any dirtbag can say Jacques Hughes, and it's like the French Revolution, off with their heads. And I mean the big heads. Okay, I'm talking about reality here. That's what it is. She just destroyed somebody here. She just destroyed somebody. The man is finished. Now, in a way, politically, I should be glad that he's destroyed, because he was going to beat Sarkozy in the election. How about when I called the one who accused Kobe Bryant Rocky Mountain white trash? Do you remember that? Remember how I was roundly criticized by the feminist hit squads out there? She was Rocky Mountain white trash, and I did defend Kobe Bryant. And anyone with a brain knows that I come from the point of view of objectivity with this. So I'd like to know how this happened. I would like to know who set her up, and I'd like to know if you actually believe that this big socialist is guilty as accused. I don't, by the way. It doesn't sound right to me. And I can give you five reasons it doesn't sound right. A man of that level, with that kind of money, would not have to run after a maid. That's number one. Number two, he wouldn't have to run after a maid. He would buy a prostitute in the hotel room. I mean, let's be blunt here. Number two, the man was on the way to the airport. You believe this man was so sexually charged up at his age, so crazy with sexual desire, that he grabbed her, he threw her down, he did that? I can't believe any of this. The whole story sounds like it was made up. And I'm shocked that the NYPD would take this woman seriously. Pat, New York City on WOR, what do you think? You think it was true or false?
I'm not buying her story. At least I'm not comfortable with it. First of all, he's a man. I don't care how much of a womanizer he might be. He's got much too much to lose, you know, relative to his stature to her stature. As a maid, I put myself in her shoes. I knock on the door. I got my little house cleaning cart. Okay, it's a big suite. He's completely undressed. Maybe he's in the bathroom getting ready, right? Maybe he doesn't hear the knock. So what they do is, you know, I've traveled. I know what they do. You know, they open the door a little bit, and supposedly he's standing there in front of her, you know, completely naked. If I'm the maid, I go, excuse me, sir, I'll be back later, whatever. Now, she's got a cart in front of her. She's got a defense. She can leave.
That's right. She has a cart. She has dusters. She has bottles. She has soap she could throw at the offending party. Absolutely.
Or just, you know, if she's that, if something even frightened her.
Usually when a maid comes into a room, incidentally, they leave the door ajar, incidentally, to the hallway.
That's right.
Specifically for this kind of situation. They usually never close a door behind them, incidentally. I've never seen it. If I've been in hotel rooms with family or whatever, maids come in, they knock, and they open a door and leave it open if they come in. They never close the door behind them.
But when
specifically for this reason. So that doesn't make sense. You're absolutely right.
But when they first knock, and they don't get a response, and then they tap again, and then they open the door. They never open the door completely. They open the door a few inches.
All right, well, now we're going to get into too many details. I mean, you know, you can switch this around to something, do ask and do tell. That should be a new policy in New York hotels rather than don't ask, don't tell. I mean, because I don't really know what went on, but it seems to me the whole thing was made up. And there's no question that he was set up by the opposing party. But I got to go back to my primary point. If he was the head of the Nationalist Party, Le Pen, and it was Le Pen in a hotel suite, which it is not, are you telling me they would just simply say French politician caught in sex scandal? It would be French right winger caught in sex scandal. It just shows you how twisted the media is and how it's controlled by radical leftists from top to bottom. You know what I'm saying? They wanted the guy out of the way. Even if the charges are dismissed, and they will be, I don't believe there's going to be enough evidence. If the charges are dismissed, he's finished anyway. That's all that matters. They got him, and it's over. That's how it's going to be. Sure, he's an elitist pig. There's no question about it. Take a look at him with the hyphenated name. Okay, came from Morocco without a dime in his pocket, and he rose to the top of the Socialist Party, and he was about to run France. He was going to beat Sarkozy, who turned out to be a lukewarm double talker, basically. So, okay, there it is, New York, WOR. Joe, what do you think? Go ahead, please.
Yep, Michael, I just want to say I'm a detective for the NYPD. I'm not going to say exactly where I work, but I'm going to tell you this. We live in a day and age, and especially in New York City, that an allegation alone, with very little or very no evidence, will make a man go to jail, especially for domestic violence and charges such as aggravated harassment.
Wow.
The discretion has been taken out of our hands to the point where we're robots, and just the allegation alone will...
Yeah, but this is criminal fascism, where any woman can accuse any man and the man's life is ruined? That's crazy.
Michael, this happens more than most people know. And the sad part is a lot of men, with no criminal records, wind up going to jail for the night. And I don't know about most of these cases, but I'm going to say many of these cases are either declined prosecution or they're thrown out because there's no merit. And what happens is you have these people now who now all of a sudden they have a record, which, let's face it, even if a case is declined prosecution or even if it's thrown out, who the heck wants to go through something like that and have their freedom taken away and have a paper trail on them that could only hurt them?
Well, of course, he's smeared. He's finished. Even if the case is dismissed, which it will be, in my opinion. Let me ask you, as a detective, when he gave a DNA sample.
Right.
What was the DNA sample they were looking for? She says she scratched him and they were looking for her DNA on his skin.
It's possible that she has some of his skin underneath her nails, or it's possible that he had touched her clothing, or it's possible that he had touched something that
All right, let's pause right here. As a detective, you're a suspicious individual, as I am, as a talk show host, probably more suspicious of everyone's statements. Everyone is potentially just a liar to a detective, and they should be. And I'm sure you've seen that 1,000 times, that the most innocent turned out to be the most guilty, and vice versa. I'm sure that's happened. Okay, could it not be that she came in the room and he solicited sex for her from her for dollars? She consented. They engaged in it, and then she screamed rape.
It wouldn't surprise me because he would be placed in a vulnerable position. Especially,
no, but I'm saying, how could he defend himself? What if he said that's what happened? She came in the room. She solicited him. They had consensual sex for an X amount of dollars. Then she suddenly became insane and started screaming rape. He ran out of there. He got frightened. Could he not use that as a defense?
Michael, the only way that he would be able to get out of it, and assuming that what she's alleging is exaggerated, or just didn't exist, the only way that he's going to get out of this is if you have the right detectives that are on this case, that are doing the proper investigation, or he has the right attorney who knows what questions to ask, or she has a feeling of guilt. That's it.
Gosh.
Or if there's some type of evidence, maybe with a camera or maybe with a witness, who can substantiate with what he's saying. Other than that,
yeah.
This guy.
Well, remember how it started with the Duke lacrosse case. The entire lacrosse team was destroyed by one dirtbag. One filthy, degenerate prostitute dirtbag was able to take down an entire lacrosse team, and they got lawyers who went after her and found out exactly what the truth was, which was that she was a no-good, filthy liar hooker. I'll be right back.
Savage.
And it's God's hand in a way. I mean, this guy has been called the Charlie Sheen of global finance, Strauss Kahn. And, you know, here's the guy in charge of trillions of dollars. And he's putting the American taxpayer, you and I, on the hook to bail out Ireland and Greece and all of Portugal. And the fact is, he's making us pay for it. Now, all of a sudden, we found that he's hot for a woman in a maid's outfit with a duster. I frankly thought that the maid and the duster thing went out with Eisenhower. I don't believe people still get turned on by the maid and the duster image. But let's put aside my comedic sense here. The issue is quite has tremendous ramifications for all of us, all good. A, he's the head of the IMF. That means that the whole world's going to now look at this corrupt, ossified body of individuals. B, he is the head of the French Socialist Party. We'll now look at socialists in the correct manner, which is that they're all right out of Animal Farm. In other words, you know what I'm saying? Four legs good, two legs bad. They're liars through and through. And then there are many other ramifications, but I think the guy's innocent as charged. How do you like that? See, I can hold all of these views concurrently. They're not mutually exclusive. I believe he was set up by Sarkozy. However, the ramifications are excellent for everyone except for the socialist pig. You know what I'm saying? New York, WOR, John, what do you think? You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please, fire away.
Psychologist here. I'm not going to tell you where I work. I have to say that there's a difference between groping and a rape desire, that rape inclination. The rape is more just about violence, about domination, and about control. And you really can't compare the two.
But wait, but he was not accused of, he was accused of sodomizing her.
Yeah, that would, when a woman doesn't want to do it, that's rape. And a guy wants to do it. See what I'm saying?
But are there cases like this that are dismissed because of a lack of evidence? What's the evidence here?
Well, it's her word right now, but we'll see if...
I understand, but is that sufficient to destroy a man's life, her word?
Well, you have to understand, there has been a backlash because for so many years, men have gotten away with this type of thing, and it's never...
I understand, but where does it end now? Now, any woman can make up a story and destroy a man.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the leader of the International Monetary Fund, has been charged for sexual assault on a maid in a New York hotel in Times Square on Saturday. Strauss-Kahn charged with two counts of criminal sexual act in the first degree, one count of attempted rape in the first degree,
This guy's hysterical from CNN. Now, look, Strauss-Kahn has been called the Charlie Sheen of global finance, which is very funny. But the fact of the matter is, Strauss-Kahn is right now the talk of the Cannes Film Festival. Let me read you this story. While Dominique Strauss-Kahn fights sexual assault charges in New York, festival goers in Cannes were wondering on Monday if his story might be worthy of big screen treatment. Humanity, power, women, sex, money, it's got it all, said Jean-André Yerles, co-president of the French Screenwriters Guild, as Strauss-Kahn appeared in court in New York City for the first time since his weekend arrest. What fascinates me, if I had to make a film about this, isn't the cheap plot of the typical American movie, but the self-destruction of this character, Yerles said. One gets the impression of someone who cut a deal with the devil and then faces punishment for failing to respect it. The arrest of the International Monetary Fund chief and potential socialist challenger to Nicolas Sarkozy in next year's French presidential elections is the talk of the Cannes Film Festival, at least among European participants. No film seems as powerful as the DSK affair, said critic Sergei Kajansky of the leftist-leaning French cultural news weekly Le Incroyable. Reality has overtaken fiction, or at least rivals it, he said. It's got all the ingredients for a rather Kafkaesque film by the Coen brothers, if not something more elegant by Michael Mann. Not interested was Xavier Duringer, whose Sarkozy biopic The Conquest will be the first film at Cannes about a serving French president. When it is screened out of competition on Wednesday, he said, whatever the outcome, it is not a story for me. I was put off by the very cruel sight of Strauss-Kahn in handcuffs. It's reminiscent of the arrest scenes in a U.S. television show. I would not do a film around his relationship with women and the way he conducts himself, he said. It goes beyond my moral boundaries. It's not the kind of film that grabs me. I find it really gross. However, Jean-Paul Huchon, the socialist president of the Regional Council for Île-de-France, which is in metropolitan Paris, expressed solidarity with Strauss-Kahn on Monday and refused to appear on the red carpet at Cannes. Here's what he said. He was in town for a seminar on cinema financing in the gala screening of House of Tolerance, a period film about a Paris brothel that is in competition for the Palme d'Or. And here's what he said. Given the difficulties that my friend Dominique Strauss-Kahn is facing, I decided not to walk the red carpet. A festive occasion for a film supported by the Île-de-France region. So it just shows you, these guys really know how to put their body on the line when their buddies are, you know, in trouble. I mean, he just won't walk down the red carpet. That really takes guts. So in honor of all of the stand-up guys in France, we're going to play a little Maurice Chevalier and take your calls on this topic in about a few seconds. So let's play a little Thanks Heaven for a moment on this average name.
Those little eyes so helpless and appealing. One day we'll flash and send you crashing through the ceiling. Thank heaven for little girls.
Guys, break into the Al Gore accusation with the shockers, please.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very suddenly switched personalities and began in a pleading tone, pleading for release of his second chakra there. There's so much tension being held. This was yet another euphemism for sexual activity he was requesting, put cleverly as though it were a spiritual request or something. I was further deeply shocked and repulsed as my realization of what was happening sunk in, and especially as my mind was now reeling from this absolute betrayal by someone I had inherently trusted as a good guy who cares about people, including me, because of his public persona.
That, of course, is the voice of the shocked masseuse of a while back when Al Gore confronted her with the real persona underneath the towel. Remember the divorce right after that? Now, so how did Al Gore get off? How did he get off in Portland while this Frenchman is sitting there in the Rikers Island? I hope they have him in protective custody, man. He's not going to do too well in General Pop. I can guarantee old. Can you imagine? You remember the movie Bonfire of the Vanities based on the Tom Wolfe novel? How one wrong turn off of, at that time, I think it was the West Side Highway and the tire and the his whole life comes to pieces with one wrong move. In that movie, The Bonfire of the Vanities. And that's an example here. And by the way, this goes back to something I told you about years ago, because it's true for me as well as you. Didn't I quote a religious source? And I don't remember the writing. We looked for it. We couldn't find it. It's either in one of the scriptures, not in the Jewish Torah. It's in the Talmud. One of the sages, one of the ancient Jewish sages wrote that a man can spend his entire life establishing his fine name and with one wrong move, destroy himself. One mistake. Now, this is the world we all live in, especially in the police state of America today. The police state that we live in America is set up so that if you make one mistake, your life is over. And it goes for the cops as well as the citizens. This is exactly what a police state is, where the cop is just as vulnerable to the rules of the road as are the people out there. The cops are doing their job by having to arrest the guy based on the statement of a maid, okay? They may or may not believe her. It doesn't matter. Their jobs would be in jeopardy if they didn't follow through to the nth degree. However, you have to ask yourself, do you want to live in a society where any woman can say j'accuse and your head is cut off as in the French Revolution? This is what went on in the French Revolution. This is what went on in Hitler Germany, where children were accusing their parents of not being loyal to the Führer. And now this is what's going on in America, where a man is accused of this and that, and suddenly his life is destroyed. So you say, well, why are you having so much sympathy for him? He's a big socialist member of the IMF. Because it's not about, at this point, politics. Now it's about the human being. Of course he looks like a socialist pig to me, a guy who's engaged in this kind of behavior. Second, you got to understand he's Moroccan. Now, I'm not denigrating all people from Morocco. It's a different culture, though. Do not try to establish your mentality, your standards of behavior with that of an individual from another nation. It's a whole different world. And it is a different world. You have to understand that. So the man is Moroccan, number one. He is French number two. He's a socialist number three. And he's a powerful politician number four. So in the world in which he lives, this is normal behavior. His own wife, when she was interviewed initially, she came up with this absurd statement that he is a French politician. He can do exactly what he pleases. What do you expect from a politician? He's entitled to do these things. Now she changed it already to a PR statement that she's in solidarity and, you know, she sticks by him, blah, blah, blah. So this does have tremendous ramifications, which why I'm doing it. And I'm not going to talk about the national debt. But again, I have to, you know, if you took home one or two things from today's show, one thing I want you to discuss tonight at the dinner table is why is it that Al Gore's accuser can come up with almost the same exact story and nothing happened to Al Gore? How did that happen? Okay? 1-800-449-8255. Larry in a New York on a WOR. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
De gustibus non est disputandum is a Latin expression meaning there is no disputing about taste. Monsieur Strauss-Kahn wanted that made.
He wanted that made. So he was on the way to the airport, he has all this money, and he has to jump on a maid?
It was in the moment.
In the moment. And he had such, a man of his age, has such uncontrollable hormones that he can't control himself?
Oh, he thought he was riding high.
So you mean he was untouchable? He thought he was Henry Kissinger in his prime?
Right.
He thought he was Hank Kissinger in his prime?
Right.
Okay, so no, let's put aside all the jokes. Larry, you actually believe he did it?
Yeah.
Why? Because she was so allured? She got such allure?
No. At first, I thought he was running after her, thinking she stole out of his room. Now I don't think that. It's either one of the
other. Oh, now that's a new twist.
Say
oh, my goodness. That's an interesting one. What a defense that is, Larry. See, now, if I were his lawyer, I would investigate that. That would explain the fingernail marks. She ripped them off. She robbed something from him. He caught her and grabbed her. Then she turned it into, he raped me. He raped me.
That's what I thought.
That's right. See, they got to get this woman on the stand, and they got to really give it to her good, because nobody should let a life get destroyed like this unless it's true. We don't know if it's true. Why should you assume it's true? You're telling me a guy like this couldn't buy a $3,000 a night hooker along with his $3,000 a night room and $13,000 suits? He has been called the Charlie Sheen of global finance. I mean, he didn't have to run after a maid with a duster. You know? Anyway, what else do you want to talk about? Next case before Judge Savage. What do I have here? So I'm on the way to the boat yesterday. I had a heck of a day. I actually was a normal man for one day in the last several years. In the morning, the normal man on Sunday went to a classic car show. Normally, I'm just on the computer grousing about the horrendous world I live in, the horrible liberalism, mental disorder. Everywhere I turn, there's a disaster. So I go to a car show with an old acquaintance who's a mechanic. And I run into a new acquaintance with the dog Duke, who's on his way to Prague. And we just look at the cars. I tell you the truth, it is so relaxing looking at classic cars. There's no way to describe it. I can explain to you sociologically why men love beautiful machines. I can explain it, but I don't think I have to. Then in the afternoon, I went on the Potomac. It's hard to pronounce. The Potomac River. You have to think of the word tome. And I was on the boat, and a strange thing happened. I went with Mrs. S. On the boat, and within a few seconds, I wanted to leave before the gangway was lifted. The crowd, there was too many people. I generally go out on my boat alone. I'm a boater on the bay, but I usually go out alone with the dog, and I like to hear the water. I don't want to hear people. Okay, let's start with that. As far as catering, I usually don't have food on my boat. I take a roll. I take a slice of provolone cheese. I take a tomato. And when I go out in the bay, I cut the engine sometimes, and I cut the roll. I put in the cheese, I put in the tomato, and I throw it in the microwave. I make a grilled cheese. To me, it's one of the finest gourmet meals with no one talking around me. Nobody, not a word. I don't need alcohol. I don't need nothing. A cup of coffee and a grilled cheese with a dog is great. I get on the boat. I was curious to go on the boat. I wanted to see the FDR's floating White House. And I saw it. I went down the engine room. I went up to the pilot house. I wanted to leave already. It's not that the people were bad. They were very nice people, but there were too many people. I got a claustrophobia attack. So before the gangway was totally lifted, I said, let's get out of here. So it turned into like a comedy. where she was off the boat. I was on the boat. They had to lift the thing. Then I lowered the thing. Then the captain said, Mike, you can hang out with us. So I spent the whole time on the boat up at the pilot house. And I really tell you, I had a really wonderful time on the boat. The lamb chops were superb. The caterer was fantastic. Violated my dietary protocols every step of the way. But I learned a lot about FDR's boat. You say, well, why should you? Oh, he was a communist. It was built in 1934 as a Coast Guard cutter called Electra. And she had a 20-millimeter gun on her. And then she was converted to the presidential yacht USS Potomac by FDR as a U.S. Navy vessel in 1936. She's now restored, and she's used basically as a they rent it out, you know, for cruises. It's a nonprofit organization. It was a fascinating scene for me for one reason. As a boater, one, to see such dedicated people who were dedicated to keeping this museum alive and it still functions, you number one. Number two, you see how simple the presidential yacht was on the inside. There's no woodwork to speak of. There's no paneling. There's no teak. It was austere. Compared to today's standards, the boat looks almost like a lifeboat, you know, on the inside. But yet it handles beautifully. It doesn't have stabilizers. She rolled a bit near the Golden Gate. And just sharing a little thing. She's 76 years old, and she's still cruising. That's all. That was number two. So now we can thank Dana and put the picture on the side. So on the way to the boat, I had time to kill. So I was dodging the bums in San Francisco, talking to themselves on the benches. I guess the City Hall was closed, and they couldn't go into their offices. And I picked up the Sunday Examiner, and the headline caught my eye. It said, "Set free to murder? ? MS-13 gang member illegally in USA released by ICE. Now he stands accused in new killings." Does that make sense to you, Sanctuary City members? Now, if you can't understand something, there's always one answer that explains it. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Shall return.
Savage.
So I don't want to say that the Charlie Sheen of Global Finance, you know, was not a womanizing pig. He obviously, you know, has that history. On the other hand, I'm very sensitive to the issue of the Dreyfus Affair, Jacques Hughes, which was written, as you all know, by the great writer Emile Zola, which led to fundamentally the truth, which is that Zola, who was smeared with anti-Semitism and called a traitor, was innocent. And it took many, many years for him to prove his innocence. I have been smeared, as you well know, by the American left. Primarily, I pretty much can trace it. The fingerprints go, I believe, to the groups funded by George Soros. I believe that, I'll challenge it in court, incidentally. I believe that Media Matters' hands are all over this. I believe that Paul Begala's hands are all over this. So the American left led to my smearing and my being banned in Britain, and I'm still fighting it 2 years later. And I have to tell you that it's taken its toll. I don't want to go into I'm a victim number, but I'm sensitive to people being victimized by being falsely accused. And later on in this week, I'm actually going to read you the new blood results, my new blood chemistry results, because it may lead to a decision with you. I sound good, but underneath it, this biochemically and psychologically as a result of it. And I'm going to read you the blood work, and I'm going to tell you that it's in God's hands at a certain point, and a decision has to be reached. But I'm a little off the topic. Nevertheless, I want to go back to what I'm talking about here, which is the false rape accusation in this case. I believe it's a false rape accusation, and I believe it's an epidemic, and it's a direct product of feminism gone wild. Now, I don't believe this big socialist is guilty as accused. He may be guilty in other cases. He may be a bad socialist. He may be a bum, a political bum. But I believe he was set up, or this woman was caught stealing from him.
Savage.
So we're focusing on French politics right now, all, you know, wrapped up with the sex scandal. We could switch to American politics, where Newt Gingrich showed his true colors and came out attacking so-called right-wing social engineering and supported Obamacare. It's a shocker, by the way. He was never a viable candidate, in my opinion. I've always seen him for who he is. There are very few viable candidates. It looks like very, very dim prospects out there. It'll probably be Romney versus Obama. Of course, I would select Romney over Obama. I would not say that I'm happy with the fact that it's only going to be Romney. On the other hand, Romney's a better choice than Obama because Romney's stronger on defense and he's probably a far better human being than Obama. But we'll talk about that another time. Let's go back to Dominique Strauss-Kahn for one moment or a few moments. I want to correct something. He was born in Paris to a fairly prominent family, and they moved to Morocco in 1951. I have no idea why they would have moved to Morocco in 51. Then they returned to Paris in 1960 after a big earthquake, blah, blah, blah. He's a former communist, incidentally, which is very important for you to know because these people, these leftists, have a sense of entitlement about them that is evidenced by their destructive social and economic policies, but more clearly represented by how they treat women. By and large, the communists are pigs towards women, whether it's Pablo Picasso and his leftists, leftist protestations, and Down with the People. You ask women of that period, well, ask and they're dead. You read women of that period. They all know Picasso was a monstrous pig. It's the same with all of them. They're all the same. And the further to the left they are, the bigger the pig they are. That's the way it works. Now, it's not limited to leftists, obviously. We have seen the many preachers, you know, with the morality and the Bible pounding, you know, where it goes. But when a case like this comes up, it should not be, we should not omit the fact that it is a socialist pig in this case, because I can assure you that had he been a member of the National Front, it would be all over the press. But in America, they left it out. They said, French politician. It's French socialist politician, madam, to be precise. But I wouldn't expect you to get this right as anything else, you know? So what do you want to talk about? Let's go to the callers. Paul in Florida, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation, Paul. What's on your mind?
Just as the left set you up with fake, phony laws, Feinstein, Boxer, Clinton, Schumer, and Lautenberg of New Jersey coined, framed the VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act of 1994, by which any woman, or for that matter, any conniving lawyer who wants to do somebody out of what's rightfully theirs, can file false allegations against you or anyone of domestic violence without a shred of proof. You can have the most ironclad alibi, including witnesses and documentary evidence, and thanks to Feinstein, Lautenberg, Schumer, Boxer, and Clinton, who signed this malfeasance into law, anyone can be accused. And just as the New York detective who called you earlier said, these charges will stick as if they're gospel, even though they're pure, malicious, false charges.
Well, you remember what went on with the Duke lacrosse case? That dirtbag hooker almost destroyed the lives of all those men on the lacrosse team, just that they had good lawyers and they proved it for what she is. The same with the Kobe Bryant case. So I'm pretty confident that a good lawyer will get this guy off, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And because you have to fight. And what's happened is people have caught on to this. And thanks to talk radio and people communicating and publishing this malice on the Internet, exposing it, these charges aren't working quite the way the left had intended. But initially, they took phrasing straight from Stalin's evidence-free false accusation manual, and we're going to use this against any American citizen whom they did not.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's interesting. You sound as though you yourself are in the legal profession, are you?
No, I'm not. I've been researching. In our family, we have a family member who was murdered, and they stood in the way of a group of criminals who coveted a multi-million-dollar estate. And the criminals thought they were going to cover their tracks by filing false domestic violence charges in the Collier County, that's Naples, Florida, courts against me. This is a racket that operates in the courts in and around America, and groups have been looking into this for a while. They thought they were going to gain their ends by burying their tracks with my carcass. Unfortunately, they picked the wrong guy. I fight. I get on the net, I use my full name, and I have ironclad facts to back me up. I mean, I went to school for many years to learn the one life lesson. You have the freedom to speak your mind and the responsibility to know what you're talking about.
But are you free of their accusations as of now, or are you still fighting them?
I fought them, and what I found was they almost secured a guilty. They were trying to get me imprisoned, in their own words, for 30 years without the inconvenience of court scrutiny in the Naples, Florida court system.
Oh, my God.
They had gotten hold of $700,000 from a property that they snookered out of by a relative of mine and then sold. And they were using that to salt their coffers in the court system. When I found out about that, I immediately went public on the Internet and just asked a question, how much of that $700,000 was used to skew the justice system?
Do you have a website where people could go? This is fascinating. I'll help you with it. I'd like to read more about it anyway. Do you have a site we can go to? I'll be happy to plug it.
I don't, sir.
If you get one. Well, let's go back to this case here with this Frenchman. It's interesting what you said at the beginning, because your preamble was astonishing. I'm not surprised to see that Feinstein and Boxer and Schumer are reading from Stalin's playbook. I know who they are. These are some of the lowest people on the planet, disguised as good liberals. We know that they're dangerous, evil people, and they will stop at nothing with their mad power grabs. Okay, that's a given. Now, this whole thing of the Violence Against Women Act, it started with good intentions because so many women were abused and raped and were afraid to come forward. And now we've come full circle now where any dirtbag, any mercenary group can use a woman to bring down a man without any evidence. And the poor woman, the woman alleging the fake charges can hide behind, oh, I'm so afraid to mention my name. I will be destroyed if I mention my name. He'll come after me. We understand that this is going to turn around, but how do we turn this around is the issue.
One thing they cannot withstand is exposure, is public scrutiny. By publicizing every single time this happens, get on the net, call talk shows, name names in court systems, because like every criminal...
But Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the case in New York City right now, you heard one of my callers allege that maybe he caught her robbing something in the room, and he confronted her, and they had a tussle, which would explain the scratches, would it not?
It would. Is it possible that she was doing that to bait him into attacking her? Because that's a standard lawyer's tactic, is to do something, is to provoke the person you target into behaving in such a way that they do something, that where they compromise themselves, either by action or statement, and then the lawyer can go after them. Maybe she was...
The one part that troubles me is they claim that he rushed out of the room and left his cell phone behind. Now, that, of course, could also fit the pilfering scenario, in that she could have robbed his cell phone. Is that correct?
It certainly could be. It doesn't sound like a guy who was willfully going after a woman to be dropping a cell phone. It sounds like a man who...
Does it make sense that a man of this level of power and wealth would want some lowly maid so badly that he would run after her and rape her in an ant and throw her down? That doesn't make sense. It just doesn't work that way.
Absolutely not. They bring their own. I will never forget the time we've had people. We all know people who have visited our homes or friends of our homes, and when they're in high political places, what do? They always bring their friends, so to speak, with them. If they don't have a concubine, they pick up the phone and they call for one, very discreetly supplied by many.
But in New York, isn't the Sofitel Hotel owned by the French government, if I'm not mistaken?
I'm not sure. Let's
say this. Here's a socialist guy, a former communist, staying in a $3,000 a night suite. You and I both know that in New York City, and as well as many other cities, you can dial a hooker the same way you order a pizza. You can get it with half sausage, half pepperoni. You can get it half vegetarian, half garlic. You can order any kind of woman you want in a hotel in New York, especially a hotel, from a suite like that. So why would he run after some lowly maid? That doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense. Dr. Savage, when I first read of this story over the weekend, my first thought was, this is a setup. It just stinks. There's elements missing here, and this it just does not sound right. It sounds like someone is trying to either sink this guy, or it could be the left trying to stage a phony attack against him to gain sympathy. If that's the case, they overreach, because it surely didn't work. But it just sounds like a setup.
Well, sounds like a setup to me, and I appreciate your opening prologue about Boxer, Feinstein, Schumer, and Hillary Clinton passing Stalinist laws in order to make certain that men become targeted and victims with virtually no defense possible. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Of course, you're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Let's go to the next caller from Delaware. Julie, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, it sounds to me like he was just trying to bolt out of town, and many men can learn a lesson from this, from trying to be with strangers. I mean, he was married, and
wait, you just said he was trying to bolt out of town?
Yeah, maybe he was trying to get out of town quick because he knew he was guilty, and if there's DNA there, you know, if there's DNA evidence and she says no, and you know, many men can learn from this lesson. You know, why can't he just be with his wife? Why does he have to be with a stranger? A lot of men like to be with a stranger. You know what I mean? They like that. And
well, I understand, but let's stop for a minute. His own wife looked the other way because that's the way it is in France for most of the high-powered people. They have a different way of looking at life than we do here in prudish America. I'm putting it in the context of how they see it. They have a totally different life view than we do. They laugh at us with regard to sex scandals. However, a sex scandal is different than a rape, isn't it?
Well, no, not necessarily. If there's DNA and she said no, then it's a rape.
Yeah, but wait a minute. We don't know what kind of DNA we're talking about here. Allegedly, there was no sexual contact per se. There was groping. There was touching. I understand the DNA that he gave was a DNA sample of his own fingernails or of her skin under his fingernail. Who knows what it was? What I'm saying is it had nothing to do with the DNA samples that I think you're alleging.
Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, like as you say, does this act bring you closer to God and further from God? And if it's true that the act did happen, then it's bringing him further from God, and then he's getting his just cause. You know, he's getting, you know, what happens when you...
Well, you can... Yeah, I understand, and I once said that every act either brings you closer to God or further from God, and that is true. But I think in this case, he seems to me like he was set up. You know, it's a funny thing, the way life is that a person often does something and gets away with it 100 times... And then in the 101st time, they get caught. It's like, let's say you're a red light runner, and you usually watch it carefully. You see no cop, and you there's no cameras, and you've been doing it 100 times. Then you get caught the 101st time, but you've done 100 times before. Is that what you're alleging, is that maybe he wasn't as guilty as she says, but he's guilty anyway?
Well, that's what I'm saying is whatever goes around comes around. And in this case, to me, because she hasn't given her name, that makes it seem all the more likely that it happened. Because she's embarrassed.
Why? What? Suddenly she's this fawning, fainting woman who never had sex before? Well, she never had this happen to her before with a man? She never had a man touch her before?
We're all alleging. So, but my point is...
Yeah, but remember, we're living in a nation where you're innocent until proven guilty. I have to say, even though he's a socialist pig, he's innocent and he's not guilty. I have to assume that she made the whole thing up. I don't know why you're rushing to judgment and crucifying the guy.
But what if there is DNA, if she was sodomized?
We don't know what there is. What if she was just a down-and-out maid who hooked on the side, who solicited, or he solicited her, and they said, well, okay, we'll do it for X dollars, and then in the middle of it, she screams rape, and she had been reached by someone to do this in order to bring the guy down, and she doesn't even know the political ramifications of what she's involved in.
Every man should try.
I'll tell you, if I wrote this scenario, I'll tell you how it goes from here. If I were the screenwriter, she is confronted with a shocking accident in the very near future. Prior to any trial, she either falls out of a hotel window or she commits suicide or dies of natural causes. I'll be right back. Now, what's going to happen over the next few days is the media is going to drop the story because he's a former communist and current socialist and the head of the IMF, the most corrupt banking organization in the history of the world. For example, we have a local rag here, the Chronicle, which has been bankrupt for years. Everyone laughs at the newspaper. They don't even read it. They give it away, you know, wherever you turn. And you go to their website. Do you know that they dropped this story? You know what their lead story is? CNN anchor comes out as gay. That's their lead story. You hear this? That's the biggest story of the world to the San Francisco. And you wonder why the newspapers have gone out of business. It's unbelievable. Either they know what they're doing or they don't know what they're doing. But before we leave this story, I think it's important for you to understand that this big socialist is probably not guilty as accused. It looks like a big fat setup. And although I'm no fan of this kind of behavior or of socialism, he is innocent until proven guilty. That's number one. And number two, It has all the earmarks of a setup by his political opponents. You also have to see the connection between this and big feminism. Big feminism gave us the Violence Against Women Act, and on the face of it, it sounds reasonable because there are too many cases of women who are raped and threatened and challenged, and lives have become a living hell by maniac husbands or boyfriends and men. And, of course, you want them to be able to retain their anonymity for fear of retribution. We understand that. But where do you then decide, then how do you protect men from false accusations with such an omnibus law as passed by the radical left, as we heard in the last from the last caller? You see, also before the day flies by, don't forget how Newt Gingrich gave himself away on Meet the Press. Listen to clip 8. Here's the real Newt Gingrich.
Do you think that Republicans ought to buck the public opposition and really move forward to completely change Medicare, turn it into a voucher program where you give seniors some premium support and so that they can go out and buy private insurance?
I don't think right-wing social engineering is any more desirable than left-wing social engineering.
End of story.
I think imposing
that was his birther moment. That was the equivalent of Donald Trump running down the birther plank. Was Gingrich running down the right-wing social engineering plank. He just neutered himself. Neutered himself with that one line. So who do we have left? I mean, you want to talk straight politics. We have Ron Paul, who is the conservative Adlai Stevenson, unelectable, charming, makes great sense, unelectable, can't win. Not against the opposition, meaning Obama. The man is too charismatic, and also the sitting president. And Ron Paul's machine would be steamrolled. I mean, they're big. Obama's greatest dream would be for the number one competitor to be Ron Paul. Let's put it to you that way. Polenti, zero. The others, no one ever heard of them. How in the world can you ever believe these non-entity white men with no following whatsoever have a ghost of a chance? You can't. You know, I was reading over the weekend a little bit of history again, one of my hobbies, and I was reading about Sicily, a beautiful land that I've never had the... I have never been there. I have Sicilian friends. I love Sicilian food. But when you realize that Sicily was founded by the Phoenicians, then occupied by the Romans in 254 BC, it was then conquered by the Byzantines in 525 AD, it was then taken by the Saracen Arabs in 830, Sicily was then overrun by the Normans and sacked by the Spanish and absorbed by Italy only as late as 1860, you realize that America is going through one of these phases right now. That's right. America was theoretically founded by the Native Americans, although there's some conflicting evidence with regard to skeletal remains of Caucasians that predate the Native American folks. Well, we won't go into that. And it was then occupied by the Europeans, the United States of America, obviously. It is now being conquered by the folks from the south of the border, as well as from other regions of the earth, as a result of the weakness of the liberal social policies. Make no mistake about it, folks. I thought about this long and hard. Liberalism, which espouses tolerance, is really weakness. There's no other way to explain it. It's not only weakness, but at a certain point, the weakness of such tolerance borders on suicidal behavior. Because for you to give up your nation without firing a shot is the sign of a suicidal people. And that's America today. We are losing America as sure as I'm standing here. With Obama in the White House, it's only a matter of a very short period of time. Unfortunately, there's no man on a white horse to save us from the other side. When confounded and you don't have an answer for the behavior of liberals, answer it this way. Liberalism is a mental disorder. It might give you some decent digestion.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome
time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7, I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say thank heaven for little girl.
Well, there are many big stories today. The socialist sex scandal. I mean, you have to understand, you keep seeing the would-be president of France, whatever his name is, Strauss-Kahn, head of the IMF. But you have to realize he was also the head of the Socialist Party of France. He's the leader of the French Socialist Party, and the media refuses to identify him as such. Can you imagine if he was the head of the Le Pen, the Nationalist Association, or the Nationalist Party in France? So what we have here is a socialist pig who has been accused of rape. Now, I don't know whether he's guilty. I think it was a setup personally. But he has a history of being a socialist pig. And we're asking today, do you believe this big socialist is guilty as accused? Also, Newt Gingrich never fooled me. I've called him the goat pack tick since I wrote The Political Zoo. And over the weekend, he shocked Republicans by attacking the Republicans' Medicare proposal as too big of a jump. And he said that right-wing social engineering is not the answer. I swear to God. Basically, he defended Obama. I was never fooled by this egomaniacal jerk. Were you? Also, I am discussing today my trip over the weekend on the FDR White House on the Water, they call it, or the floating White House, the SS Potomac. And I will tell you all about life inside the Potomac on San Francisco Bay. It's an interesting view of the world. But let's look at the socialist sex scandal. And I have the actual police report. I don't know. To me, it looks like a setup. He was, you know, ready to run against Sarkozy, who's whatever he is. He's not a socialist. And the counts against him are pretty shocking. Criminal sexual act in the first degree, attempted rape in the first degree, sexual abuse in the first degree, unlawful imprisonment in the second degree, sexual abuse in the third degree, DNA eligible, forcible touching. It's unbelievable. Here's the police report. The socialist pig defendant engaged in oral sexual conduct and anal sexual conduct with another person by forcible compulsion. The defendant attempted to engage in sexual intercourse with another person by forcible compulsion. The defendant, that is the socialist pig, subjected another person to sexual contact by forcible compulsion. The defendant, that's again the socialist pig, restrained another person. The defendant subjected another person to sexual contact without the latter's consent. And in that, the defendant intentionally and for no legitimate purpose forcibly touched the sexual and other intimate parts of another person for the purpose of degrading and abusing such person and for the purpose of gratifying the defendant's sexual desire. Pretty clear. I mean, the police have it pretty clearly written out there. The question is this feminism gone wild? She simply has to say he did it? How can a man defend himself against that? And then it goes on. Deponent, that would be the maid, states that deponent is informed by an individual known to the DA's office that defendant shut the door to the above location and prevented informant from leaving the above location, grabbed informant's breast without consent, attempted to pull down informant's pantyhose and forcibly grab informant's vaginal area, and was able to accomplish the above acts by using actual physical force. We don't know whether the socialist pig engaged in such acts. We certainly would be shocked if Dominique Strauss-Kahn, a man of the people who stays in $3,000 a night hotel rooms and wears $13,000 suits, would do such a thing. We know he's a man of the people. He's down with the people. I mean, that's what socialists are. But nevertheless, they denied him bail today, and he's in New York for a few days waiting to hear what comes up next. It just shows you any man's reputation can be destroyed by an unsubstantiated accusation of this kind. But I have a question for you on the Savage Nation today. Al Gore was accused of very similar, well, generically similar events. His DNA was captured and used. Why was he not arrested? Remember the massage therapist who claimed Gore came out in a certain inappropriate manner off the massage table? And then he got a divorce shortly thereafter from Tipsy Gore. Well, I mean, but Al didn't get arrested for this. So why should we do this to the Frenchman? I mean, sure, he's a socialist. That is true. But Al Gore's a lunatic. I mean, so why would socialism qualify for arrest while being a lunatic? Not qualify for. I don't understand that. So do you believe this big socialist is guilty as accused? Personally, I don't. And I find it shocking that in the United States of America today, any female pig can simply say j'accuse, and like in the French Revolution, it's off with your head. Big topic on the Savage Nation, as well as many, many others right here on the Savage Nation. Look, the reason I'm talking about Frenchie and the sex scandal is simple. A, he's a socialist and he deserves to be talked about in this manner. B, how can I talk about the budget and have you expect you to listen to the show? After all, I am not, you know, on Fox News. They think that you're interested in blackboards with pictures of debt figures on one side and George Washington on the other? I don't believe so. So there are other news stories. I was, as I say, out on the Potomac yesterday, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's floating White House, and I'll tell you about that. But, you know, I picked up a local free newspaper, the Sunday Examiner, and the headline caught my attention. It said, "Set free to murder? ? MS-13 gang member illegally in USA released by ICE. Now he stands accused of murder in Daly City killing," page 5. And I said, boy, this is the kind of headline we need to see. And we saw it. Thank God we have one paper that covers the realities of the illegal scourge. IMF chief's arrest rocks French presidential race, says the Savage Nation on michaelsavage.com. Gingrich supports mandatory health care. Savage warned you about GOPAC tick. That's the top right on Michael Savage. Palestinians storm into Israel. You didn't know about that. Socialist IMF chief perp walked on rape rap. You know, he looks like very much like Madoff. He's like Madoff's fraternal twin, if you look at the picture of him on the perp walk. The sneer is off his face. You know what I mean? He's wearing a cape of some kind, but very Frenchy. Trump not running for president. Oh, shocked. I wonder why he's pulled out. Could have anything to do with the birth issue. Florida imams indicted for supporting terrorism. Of course, you got to read the story behind the story. The police raid of the mosque was done in a politically correct fashion. You may not know this, but the police showed up at 6 a.m., but they were in the middle of morning prayers. So the police waited for the Muslim prayers to finish and then obligingly took off their shoes upon entering the holy mosque there in Florida. Can you imagine them doing that to a priest accused of molestation, waiting for him to finish his Catholic rites, or the police waiting patiently taking off their shoes?
Fat chance.
Yeah, fat chance is right. Iran's Hitler says the Hamas Fatah pact will lead to elimination of Israel. Let us hope it leads to the elimination of the Hitler of Iran. Counter-terror documents found in trash posted on the internet. You hear this? I guess they have a cop who's gone wild there. Could Herman Cain become GOP's new godfather? Four Dems vote present on honoring bin Laden mission. Those are the four commies who did not even want to honor the SEALs. I don't have to read you their names. They could be any Democrat. They're all the same. Moms kill own daughters in Muslim honor killings. But you don't want to know about that. All religions are the same to you. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Muslim radicals unleash to start violence in Egypt. But you don't want to know about that. You want to know about the Arab Spring and boys in tight jeans. California employees scam system to retire with six-figure bonuses. I'll tell you about that another day. Pentagon digs in heels over bin Laden photos. They won't show them. Prophet of God beheads tourist at supermarket in Spain. Used to be the rain in Spain goes mainly down the drain. But what else is on my website? Parents outraged over schools planning secret abortions. That's in New Zealand, so you don't have to worry about that. Pet lovers in Japan. Remember the nuclear thing in Japan? Oh, that little thing of, you know, reactors blowing up or something and tsunamis? Well, it's still going on there 2 months later. Thousands of pets are still there starving, scavenging. Well, they're down there. How about Obama's secret college years? You want to know something about it? Read Trickle Up Poverty. All this and more on michaelsavage.com. As far as late-breaking news, it's there. Really, it's there. Trump says, "I'm out of the White House game." He wants to go back to The Apprentice. Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, could become president of OPEC. New blood test tells you how long you will live. Oh, really? Gallup poll says Obama drops another 2 points down to 46%. Post-Bin Laden bump has vanished. The 400-pound test that tells you how long you'll live. A blood test that can show how fast someone is aging and offers a tantalizing possibility of estimating how long they have left to live is to go on sale to the general public in Britain later this year. How the test works. It measures vital structures on the tips of a person's chromosomes called telomeres, which scientists believe are one of the most important and accurate indicators of the speed at which a person is aging. Oh, God. Would you really want to know?
I think that'd be the worst thing. I mean, where would your drive go? You'd know if you knew and you knew accurately, everything would be taken away from you, your inspiration to keep going at a certain point.
What your biological age is related to your chronological age?
Exactly, right.
Well, anyway, it's going to be up on michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Nation. Here's Bill in New York. He's on the Savage Nation. Go ahead from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I want to talk about the trade deficit, which is as bad as the budget deficit. We're going broke in both directions because the Congress, both parties, have pretty much sold out to the WTO and the common market. And, you know, the nonsense of free trade, you know, when you go to
You agree with me that we're one of the only countries on earth that still espouses the maxim that free trade is good because we're not engaged in free trade when there are trade barriers in almost every other nation on earth.
Right. It's absolute nonsense because in PhD school, what you talk about is trade equilibrium. Unfeathered free trade, you would go bankrupt very quickly. And
well, we have gone bankrupt very quickly because, as I say, some very powerful special interests are running the country, not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I happen to know that American manufacturers face trade barriers in the form of various and sundry taxes, which you may as well call, you can call them anything you want. You can call them tariffs, but they're not called tariffs. They're called other things, taxes and this and that. But they can dump their products on our country's doorstep without any such barriers.
Before the income tax, the whole tariff paid for the whole government of the United States. And unless we put in some tariffs, there'll be no manufacturing base left in the United States because...
Absolutely right, which I've been calling for, and Donald Trump called for tariffs. Unfortunately, he stepped into the wrong arena. Did not listen to the right people. He listened to an enemy within his own camp who led him down the birther path that destroyed him. I've seen it happen before. I tried to stop it. I sent him an email. I said, watch out. You're going down the wrong road. Don't listen to that lawyer in your organization. He's an Obama supporter. He was a Dukakis supporter. Donald, stop it. Don't go down this avenue. But I knew it was too late. I saw it happen with Bob Dole. I saw it happen with every other middle of the road Republican before. They get Democrat advisors who whisper in their ear when they're really working for the other team. So the tariff issue is a very important one, and the only way to save America right now is to A, start raising interest rates to reflect the actual inflation that we're living in, and two, establish tariffs. We can immediately see our country on a road to a healthier economy, in my estimation.
I have one more comment.
And also fire Ben Bernanke. Fire Ben Bernanke for being one of the biggest liars in the history of that position. How dare he stand up there and say that only government-released money is the only money that should be released into the money supply? Do you agree with me that by keeping interest rates arbitrarily at zero, what you're doing is keeping people from putting money into banks, and as a result, banks are not lending money because they don't have the money to lend?
Well, banks really don't like to lend money. What they do is they take that money that's in the savings account and they invest it in financial markets. Because 80% of
they invested in what?
In financial markets, securities markets, stock markets, portfolios, like Citibank's losses.
Wait a minute. Slow down. When interest rates were at a reasonable level, banks were rushing to give loans to ordinary people for expanding their businesses or whatever. They're not doing that right now because they're not sitting on as much money.
But traditionally, okay, 80% of profits of most banking financial institutions has come from their portfolio, which is speculating in financial markets. That's how Citibank ran up a $400 billion
loan. Isn't that a recent phenomenon, a rather recent phenomenon, from when the rules were changed, the Glass-Steagall Act being removed, and the uptick rule being removed by the various and sundry administrations? But prior to that, there was much better controls, which permitted banks to invest in healthier venues.
Right. But what happens is, as far as GDP is concerned, investing in financial markets or investing in putting it in a bank is the same thing. So it's, you know, it's equivalent as far as GDP is
concerned. Well, I guess my main point is that Benjamin Bernanke may as well be working for the ex-Soviet Politburo in terms of shrinking the money supply and constraining it so that it only flows from Obama and the administration. That's how centralized governments work. They want to control where the money goes. And the only way they can do that is by making sure that the money to begin with is restricted. So they keep interest rates at an arbitrarily low number. People don't put their money into savings accounts. The banks are not sitting on these huge reserves as they once were. Consequently, they're much tighter in who they give money to. The money supply dries up, and the people then start to look to the centralized government for relief. That is how the Politburo worked in the ex-Soviet Union. That is how it's working under the naked communist Barack Obama. I don't give a rat's behind about Osama bin Laden, and I don't care anymore about his posturing over and over again. The man has wrecked the economy. The man has wrecked the society. Him and his wife are debasing the society. They're basing.
Savage.
Dr. Bob Moffitt is a columnist, and he's a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He's here with us today on The Savage Nation to tell us why he thinks Obama's liberal solution for Medicare won't work and will continue to bankrupt the nation. Dr. Moffitt, welcome to The Savage Nation.
How you doing, Mike? It's great to be with you.
Dr. Representative Paul Ryan has called for Medicare patients to switch to a voucher system. What is this, and is this the solution we need?
I think what he's doing is he's taking what already exists for most people. Most people are in what they call a voucher system or a premium support system in Medicare already. They're in the Medicare Part D program, which is a program where about 90% of seniors get drugs through this kind of program, where basically the government makes a contribution to the plan of your choice, and then you pick the drug plan of your choice. And there's very high satisfaction with the prescription drug program, and you have lots of competitors. You have different types of drug benefits. And the great news about that is that over the past 10 years, we've seen a significant reduction in the cost of the program. The intensity of the competition has held the cost down. So seniors have seen cost increases decline over time. I mean, the projected premium cost increases are 41% lower than they were originally projected to be. So most of seniors are already in what is called a premium support program, but it's confined to drugs. What Ryan wants to do is take the success of this program and basically expand it to not only drugs, but also medical benefits and hospital benefits as well. And frankly, I think it's a much better program than they have right now.
I don't think taxes need to be raised to keep Medicare afloat. Do you?
Well, in fact, Medicare is faced with a $30 trillion unfunded liability. If you look at what is projected over the next 50 to 75 years, we have got over $30 trillion of benefits that we have promised that we have not paid for. So we're stuck. In other words, we are faced with some very serious tax increases or savage benefit cuts, no pun intended, if we leave the program alone. But under the current law, Medicare right now will guarantee major premium increases to seniors combined with cuts to seniors' benefits and a guaranteed reduction in seniors' access to medical services. The cuts have already taken place in Medicare under Obamacare. What has happened is we've seen a situation where in the first 10 years, you are going to see close to $500 billion worth of cuts in benefits to Medicare. But none of those cuts are going to be savings to the Medicare program. All of that money, it's about $575 billion worth in savings, is going to be used to expand coverage outside of Medicare. So Medicare is being savaged, no pun intended, at one point, but at the, in another sense, none of the long-term financial problems of the program are solved, and taxpayers are going to be facing crushing tax burdens in the future.
Demon cats accuse Repubs of balancing the budget on the poor and the elderly. How are they getting away with this?
I think that they're trying to play a very, very old game, which is to scare seniors and scare taxpayers into not supporting any fundamental change in Medicare or any kind of a rational change in Medicare. But in fact, their own program actually will affect the poor and the elderly in a negative fashion. For example, in the so-called Medicare Advantage program, these are the private plans that provide hospital and physician services and drugs for almost one quarter of all senior citizens. Under Obamacare, you're going to see $136 billion cut from that program over the next 10 years, and a half of the enrollment in that program is going to decline because these plans will not be able to stay in business. But if you actually look at the data, what we found out is that poor people and economically disadvantaged seniors are more likely to enroll in Medicare Advantage because it's a better deal for them. But these cuts are going to disproportionately affect poor and disadvantaged seniors the most. By 2017, 70% of the Medicare Advantage cuts are going to affect seniors with incomes below $32,000 per year.
Well, what prevents politicians from actually reforming our entitlement system?
Well, I think there is a fear that it's a fear of presentation. A lot of people do not really clearly understand the gravity of the problems that we're facing. Right now, we are faced with a $14 trillion national debt. We are looking at record deficits and record spending. And I'll tell you something, Mike, if we do not get the debt and the deficits under control, and if we do not get entitlement spending under control, we are going to lose the country. This is not a view of just conservatives. I mean, a lot of liberal analysts feel the same way. The question is, you know, how can we do this? We have to slow down entitlement spending. We have to be more rational in the way in which we divvy out entitlement funding. I mean, it makes much more sense now to start to target the limited resources we have to the lowest income people and basically stop this business of saying that everybody's going to be entitled to the exact same level of benefits. We have to start getting more rational about this. If you take the position that you are going to demand everything to which you are legally entitled today, if the baby boomers do this, they can do this, but the price of that will be to destroy the future, the economic future of their children and their grandchildren.
Isn't the waste and the fraud inside the bureaucracy one of the major problems with Medicare?
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. Medicare is governed by thousands of pages of rules and regulations and guidelines. It's a very sluggish program. The Medicare bureaucracy sometimes takes months and years to even make simple changes in rules and regulations. But these rules and regulations undermine the capacity of doctors and hospitals and clinics and home health agencies, in many cases, to deliver care in ways that they think might be more efficient, because it is the rules and regulations that basically determine how physicians are going to practice in Medicare. A few years ago, the Mayo Foundation, which is one of the top healthcare foundations in the country, did an analysis just simply of the paperwork and the red tape and the bureaucracy in Medicare, and they discovered that Medicare basically has about 135,000 pages of rules, regulations, and guidelines. Now, Mike, I got to ask you, how could you possibly enforce 135,000 pages of rules and regulations and guidelines? Actually, they don't. What you've got is you've got a lot of arbitrary decision-making being made on the ground by Medicare directors. It's a serious problem. There's another problem here, too, and that is that on paper, Medicare looks economically efficient in terms of its administrative costs. If you look at the official reports of the government, they will say, well, Medicare's administrative costs are really small. They're only about 2%. Now, technically, that's true. But what they don't tell you is that the compliance costs, the compliance in terms of the time, the energy, and the effort to comply with Medicare rules and regulations and guidelines takes up a lot of energy and effort of doctors and hospitals and home health care agencies and their staffs. And the result of that is that the administrative costs are much higher, but they're pushed on to doctors and hospitals, and basically it makes it much more difficult for physicians to practice in Medicare. So that's why you're starting to see more and more in places like Texas, physicians not taking Medicare patients. I'm concerned about this because, you know, I'm a baby boomer too, and as time goes on, we're talking about 77 million baby boomers joining that program over the next 20 years. This is a tremendous demand for medical services, but at the same time, we're faced with a physician shortage. And part of the problem that we have now is many physicians feel, and I think correctly, that this law is not going to help them. It's going to make it much more difficult to practice medicine. So the physician shortages that we're faced with today are going to get larger, even as the demand for medical services increases.
Dr. Moffitt, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thank you very, very much. And I would just like to mention to you, Michael, that myself and some other colleagues here have just published a book on the subject of Obamacare, Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. And it's been published by Harper's Collins, and it's available on Amazon.com. So we're looking into promoting the truth about Obamacare and the impact that Obamacare is going to have on Medicare and all of our health care in America. But it's been great being with you, Mike.
I'll be right back. Savage. This is Captain Mike down at the waterfront. You can hear the gulls in the background. Been feeding them the scraps from the table. Gave him the old turkey this morning. Teddy was jumping up and down and saying, why not me, why not me? You know, I've been reading since I wrote the novel and waiting for it to come out, Abuse of Power, St. Maunds. It'll be out in September. I've been reading more again. I got sick and tired of reading, you know, websites for news stories about how bad Obama is. I mean, it's all true, but I can only take so much. So I went back to what I used to do most, which is I started reading literature. And I walked my way backwards by reading a contemporary novel, which is fairly well written. But then I got bored very quickly because they're superficial in so many ways. So I went back to Joseph Conrad, who I cut my teeth on. And it's important for me to read you a couple of paragraphs from Joseph Conrad about when a ship goes down and people die, or what would happen if a ship went down and people died. It's from a story in his fiction, The Mirror of the Sea, published way back in 1906. Now, I don't know if Joseph Conrad is taught anymore, but something you should know about Joseph Conrad is that he was born in Poland. His native language was Polish, and he learned English and became established as one of the greatest writers of the 20th century in English, to show you what you can do if you have a brain and if you have talent. And I do not believe he took education courses put out by a government that taught, English as a second language with Polish instruction. I don't believe so. I think he taught himself English. So The Mirror of the Sea was published in 1906, and it's a collection of Conrad's autobiographical reflections on man and his relationship to ships and the ocean. I found this in an old yachting magazine that I was about to, you know, throw out. It was a couple of years old, from November 2010. And I said, wait a minute, Joseph Conrad. So let me read you a paragraph for the heck of it, okay, just for a change of pace. He's talking about being on a ship a 1,000-ton bark, I think is what it was. I can't find the exact. Here it is. Our craft, a Clyde-built bark of 1,000 tons, was rolling to the point where he thought that he'd be thrown off the mast. So they went up on the mast to see what was going on. The decks were full of water. The gears were flying, and they were still running at 10 knots an hour. And then he's up on the mast, and suddenly up there in the slings of the foreyard in the midst of our work, I felt my shoulder gripped with such force in the carpenter's powerful paw that I positively yelled with unexpected pain. The man's eyes stared close in my face, and he shouted, "Look, sir, look, what's this?" pointing ahead with his other hand. At first, I saw nothing. The sea was one empty wilderness of black and white hills. Suddenly, half concealed in the tumult of the foaming rollers, I made out a wash. Something enormous rising and falling, something spread out like a burst of foam, but with a more bluish, more solid look. It was a piece of an ice floe, melted down to a fragment, but still big enough to sink a ship and floating lower than any raft right in our way, as if ambushed among the waves with murderous intent. There was no time to get down on the deck. I shouted from aloft till my head was ready to split. I was heard aft, and we managed to clear the sunken floe, which had come all the way from the southern ice cap, to have a try at our unsuspecting lives. Had it been an hour later, nothing could have saved the ship, for no eye could have made out in the dusk that pale piece of ice swept over by the white-crested waves. And as we stood near the taffrail, side by side, my captain and I, looking at it, hardly discernible already, but still quite close to on our quarter, he remarked in a meditative tone, "But for the turn of that wheel just in time, there would have been another case of a missing ship." Now, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I'm going to read you the last paragraph, because this now goes to you, whether you are on a ship or in a car, whether you're sitting in a house or rotting in a jail cell, because it's so universal in its description of what happens when a human dies. Listen how he ends this little tale. "Nobody ever comes back from a missing ship to tell how hard was the death of the craft and how sudden and overwhelming the last anguish of her men. Nobody can say with what thoughts, with what regrets, with what words on their lips they died. But there is something fine in the sudden passing away of these hearts from the extremity of struggle and stress and tremendous uproar, from the vast unrestful rage of the surface to the profound peace of the depths, sleeping untroubled since the beginning of ages." Now that's writing, that's literature, that's Joseph Conrad, an excerpt from The Mirror of the Sea. Very nice, Michael. Applauding for myself. It's such a, you know, this is such an isolated profession, it's incomprehensible. It's one thing if you do it in front of a live audience, you do it on a radio show, you don't even know if anyone went to sleep. Did anyone enjoy that, or you would rather I never read literature again? Just that, Obama's no good. Them Dems are commies. No, I mean, it's all true, but how much can I do of it? There's only a limit to it. I just wrote out my order of food for the night for this week, an Atlantic smoked salmon, bagels, 4 dolmas, and a small milk for the missus when she comes over for the coffee. Humble guy, go out in the boat. I'm not going to hit an ice floe this weekend in the Bay Area. Don't worry about it. Here's a guy in his 162-foot yacht showing off with his young girlfriend with the fake boob job, making memories with his girlfriend and President Joe and his wife, Jean. Some men live for this, to have the big boat and the picture of them with the young girlfriend. 4 years later, click, click. 2 years later, they got a half a baby between them. The yacht she took the yacht. Oh, guys, will they ever learn? There's no beating it. Don't you understand there's no beating life? Marrying a young woman when you're that age, is like hitting an ice floe. No matter which way it is, you're going to get hit with that ice floe, whether it's initially or late. Take a look at Mel Gibson. Don't they understand it? I mean, because I read that Paul McCartney just getting married again to some girl he met in the Hamptons. And he made an interesting statement, McCartney. He said, "I like being in love." Well, that's very nice. I mean, the last one he just got rid of with the one leg sure was a nice love story, wasn't it? The one legger must have cost him $300 million for being in love. Love is a fantasy. Don't you understand that love was invented in the Middle Ages during the Renaissance, that there was no love before that? Hey, shall I tell you my cynical view of love? Because it's true. See, America lives in a fantasy, which is beautiful. We all share in this social construct, all of our social constructs. We all share in them or negate them, but we all share in them one way or the other, either by believing them or negating them. Love is a social construct that, according to my reading of literature, did not exist prior to the period that Shakespeare wrote in. In other words, I'm not saying everyone was a caveman before then, but they married for reasons other than, oh my God, she's my soulmate, and I met her on 48th and 3rd Avenue when I was out walking my terrier, and she's my soulmate. There never was a thing called a soulmate. The religious Jews who I knew many years ago taught their children that you marry someone for other reasons and you learn to love each other. That's the way they pick. They pick based upon family lineage and the ability to raise a family and things of that nature. And then when the couple lives together, they learn to love each other. Usually the marriage lasts longer than if you, oh my God, met her in the, oh my God, 90 days later already, that they got a half a baby each. And they don't understand why the marriage didn't last. Because what you did was you married a fantasy. Nobody can live up to a fantasy. It was like based upon what you ate that day and like the alignment of the planets. So, see, the whole concept has to be changed. And I think we're going to go into arranged marriages very soon in America all over again. Now, no, I'm pretty sure we're going to head there. I have a whole other theory about social behavior that's coming, that's emerging in my head, which is that we're living through one of the most libertine ages in American history where everybody's doing it like bees and like bugs. Bees and bugs. Human beings are now mating in the Western world like bees and bugs. So what's going to happen, and I don't know when, how many years, my suspicion is that there's going to be an emerging generation that is the opposite of this lascivious, do-it-in-the-road type of generation.
Savage.